Would you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Romans chapter 1, there in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You got the book of Acts, and then if you would go to the book of Romans there. We're going through this book on Sundays, but we're going to reference it, look at it a little bit this morning, this evening, and then we will also look at a couple other passages. Romans chapter 1. Also, while you're turning there, once you find your place there, could you then go over and look for Psalm 19? Maybe stick a bulletin or maybe an offering envelope there at Romans 1. Then go over to Psalm... What Psalm did I say? 19. Thank you. All right. You find your place there, and we'll be looking at a couple of those passages. You know, we looked at different objections to the gospel last week, and we'll carry on that subject throughout the next few weeks. But I'm going to take a little bit different, not turn, but a little direction, I should say, that hopefully we'll follow up with over the next several weeks, maybe as we lead into December. By the way, you know, I do believe that I think December is probably one of the best times to be a witness for Christ. Now, all time should be an opportunity for us to witness. We know that, and we should always try to be faithful in that. But folks, honestly, when the Bible says redeem the time, a perfect example of that is to take advantage of the open door that we have with people being a little bit more sensitive to the gospel through Christmas. The story of the birth of Christ, the virgin birth, and the reason he came. It just seems to me that hearts are more tender in that time. So I hope that you'll be praying about now. Many of you will be traveling to visit family members that don't know the Lord. I hope you'll be praying now about opportunities to witness to them again and to share the love of Christ and the truth of the gospel. But nevertheless, you know, we're talking about the different questions that may arise. And tonight I want to talk about one. And you talk about a profound subject that you could talk about for years and not exhaust it. But that's the question when you engage someone with the gospel. And this would perhaps be an atheist or an agnostic or whatnot. And they would make a statement like this. How do you know that God exists? How do you know? And as a child of God, you know, there are, as you know, there are probably several ways, multiple ways that you can approach that, that question. And of course we can't exhaust it. Who can explain God? I mean, really. But nevertheless, we know from what Peter told us that we should always be ready to give an answer for the reason. We should be able to give a defense of to a degree of why we believe and what God's word means to us. Now, I will say this. No man can understand God, we know this, apart from faith. What can you, do you guys agree with that statement? Amen? Yes? Amen. All right. See some heads nodding. All right. Good. All right. So, yes, we cannot. No one can understand God apart from faith. All right. No man can know God apart from faith. But God has given us plenty of reasons to believe on Him. He has given us plenty of revelation. All right. Now, we know His divine revelation is through His Word. We believe that is the foundation of our faith. We believe God has revealed Himself through the Word of God, the precious Bible that you hold in your lap or your hand and that we have in our lives. Thank God for that. This is where Jesus is revealed and this is where God is revealed. But there are other ways that God has revealed Himself apart from His Word. And now I will say this, Again, that's the primary way that we are. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, again, saying that before. But there are other ways that God has revealed Himself, and one I want to talk about tonight. In fact, I may just, for alliteration's sake, the next three subjects that we'll talk about, the next two subjects we'll talk about, are the fact that God reveals Himself through creation. When we want to talk about the Lord, I believe God's people should truly go to creation and talk about the marvel of it, the wonder of it, how amazing it is. But we also talk about, we could talk about, and we will come to this, but the conscience, okay? Going to that, that's important. God has revealed Himself through our conscience. And we know that no man can be saved just sensing God and knowing God. He must let that take him to the direct revelation of God, which is the third C, is the God has revealed Himself through His Word. But tonight, let's look at creation just for a moment, and let me have a word of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank You again for Your Word tonight, and as we look at it, I pray You'd help us. And Lord, as we look at just the wonder of Your creation, as we speak to unbelievers that are seeking truth, perhaps they're not. Perhaps they're opposing it. Perhaps they are being antagonistic. Lord, I don't know. We all come in contact with so many different people every day. But Lord, I know that there's not a person that I don't lay eyes on that you certainly died for, God. I know that every one of them is a soul for whom Christ died. And I pray that my heart and the people here at Crooked Creek, Lord, we would all see people, souls for whom Jesus died. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us the answers in our heart, that we'd be able to be ready. And so tonight, would You bless in our study? And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, tonight, as we talk about creation, notice with me in Romans chapter 1, we're talking about the revelation of God, how God has revealed Himself. How do we know that God really exists? Well, notice verse 17. It says, "For in therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." All right, so we just discussed that. The just shall live by faith. But then it goes on to say, also the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, we've studied that. They suppress the truth. They hold it down. They don't want to hear the truth of God. But then notice verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's made clear in them, for God hath showed it unto them. This is speaking of every single person, ladies and gentlemen, that God has showed Himself. Verse 20 further explains, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. Now, that's what I want to look at tonight. If you want to underline that in your Bible, is the creation of the world. The Bible says are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. All right, that's talking about creation. That's that word we see in Romans chapter 2, verse 10, that talks about we are His workmanship. Well, God's creation, this earth, this galaxy called the Milky Way, and all of the other billions of galaxies in the whole universe are created by God. And He spoke them into existence, by the way. And that's what He's talking about right here. They see the things that are made, even His eternal. A little bit about this idea of creation. When someone poses the question of how do you know God exists, let's say we do go right to creation. And I think this would be a good one to say, what do you think about the human body? You know, Brother Stephen here tonight is a PA, and we have other people in the medical field. We have nurses here in our church, and EMTs and others that study the body and know of these things. I mean, Brother Christian, who studies carbohydrates and does research on those things. And so we have people in the medical field, but it is, all of us should have a basic concept of how the body works. It's awesome. And I think personally it's good to mention that some of the facts about the body. I mean, how many bones do we have? Well, 206 bones. How many muscles? 700 muscles. And the fact that our heart beats over 100,000 times a day. As we think upon that, 100,000 times a day as it pumps 75 gallons of blood an hour. 75 gallons of blood an hour through more than 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries. And so we see that is in itself a testimony of God's creation. And I noted some of these things of where I got them from in my notes, and also a book that I'm referencing also to give us some good advice on how to respond quickly when you only have maybe that Starbucks encounter where you're talking to someone just for 10 minutes, some things that you can bring out there that would be helpful to just to prompt them to really think about upon creation. Your eyes and my eyes. Now, some of you got the bifocals on here tonight, and your eyes, your brother Mark moving his glasses there. Some of our eyes are going. Some of you got, how many got contacts on tonight? Just out of curiosity, I say, okay, about half of you. My wife wears them, and sometimes those things can give you a fit. From what I can understand, I haven't had to use them yet. But nevertheless, even with that technology, the way God has made our eyes are made up of what. This is what I got this from iInstitute.co about eyes. But there are more than 2 million working parts just in our eyes. Now, folks, I obviously have not done this type of research. I'm dependent on somebody else much smarter than me that's done that. But these are not just Christian, you know, sources I'm using here. Some of these are secular institutions. But what is just the amazement of the creation that we have before us to ponder tonight as we think upon our great Creator. The eyes, 2 million working parts. The fact that there was 75 gallons of blood pumped by this heart in my chest today, it beat it over 100,000 times is amazing. Little things like that may be helpful. The wonder of DNA. What is it that makes your body? Much smarter than me have counted these up, and if I'm wrong on any of these, you please correct me, and I'll go back out of information in each one of them. And where did all this has ever created? Did you hear what he said? We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. And our Lord spoke us into existence on the sixth day. You think upon just these little tidbits of information, and I'm not saying that you say these things and it's boom, it's going to convince that skeptic or unbeliever. I'm not suggesting that. I hope you understand that. But I do believe that we should bring these things up to the very fact that there was one atheist who was one who discovered DNA. I don't have his name. I should have noted it, but who noted it was two of them. But he mentioned this. I think it was 1 in 10 to the billionth fraction of a chance of this world being created by a Big Bang or just by chance. That's what his statement was, and he was not a believer in God. But it was just, again, going back to people say, you know, oh, you just have a blind faith believing in a creator. Wait a minute. What exactly is it taking for you to believe what you're believing? But I'm seeking to take a position that I believe that every design has a designer. Every creation has a creator. And I believe we ought to bring that up. You know, that's just the human body. Does anybody else think of anything along those lines? When you're talking to someone about creation, the human body, does anybody else have any other maybe illustration that you will bring up? Just the fascination of our created bodies. Anybody else think of something you like bringing up in one of those conversations? Putting you on the spot here. Brother Dan?
There's a cell in the ear, that's a little cell in the ear, that's only found in the ear, which is an example of it could not have evolved from something else that was only found in the ear.
Amen.
And there's many other things about the ear and the function that testifies of creation.
Amen. That's right. Christian?
It goes back to the body. Any living organism has only enzymes that perform these chemical reactions that make life work.
Right.
And my dad, actually, he was not a believer, but he taught chemistry, and he got into biochemistry, and he learned about enzymes, and that was before he was saved. But that when he learned, contributed to him eventually becoming a believer.
Amen. Amen. It does. It truly prompts the heart, someone else along those lines. I think, again, just being able to share those things and to really, do you really believe that this just happened by chance? Started off as a form of slime that was created from nothing. It simply is amazing. But, you know, not only the human body, but along with creation, I think upon the universe, the planets, the stars, the galaxies. Would you go over with me to Psalm 19 for a moment? Notice what it says here in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I think of that verse every time. The Sahara Desert, to those nomadic people that we were reaching there in Niger, come to my mind, the Tuareg. They live out in just in these encampments. It's so isolated. It's so far away from anything. But, boy, you go out there at night. There's no light pollution whatsoever. And you just feel like you could just literally reach out and just grab stars. And they're just so vibrant. And they're, that, I just think of that verse. I think of how their language and their speech, their voice is going forward right there to his creation, that there is a creator. And he goes on to say, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And that's talking about that sunrise. And rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. What a testimony of God's creation. I believe that we ought to point to the stars. We ought to point to our solar system when it comes to speaking to people about how do we know that God exists. The order that is in the universe speaks of our God. I got a few pictures I want to share with you tonight that speak a little bit of this. And again, people a whole lot smarter than me, folks, have done the research. Most of these pictures are from NASA, by the way. But just as we look at these things, I believe we should bring them up when speaking to unbelievers and talking about creation. You know, the observable universe is estimated to contain 200 billion to 2 trillion galaxies. All right? We are in one galaxy, and that is the Milky Way galaxy. But there are supposed to be anywhere from 200 billion to 2 trillion galaxies around us. One of the first ones we'll see here is the mini galaxies. I mean, you can't really see, but these aren't stars. These are galaxies, like similar to which we live in. And the Milky Way is a rather small galaxy compared to the majority of them. This is the handiwork of our God. Some say, you know, is there, as they look at other galaxies, we think of the billions that are in the universe, and within that there are at least 100 billion stars, and on average each star has at least one planet orbiting it. This means there are potentially thousands of planetary systems like our solar system within the galaxy. And here we see next is the a picture of the Milky Way galaxy, but this phenomenal looking light here are all the other billions of galaxies scattered across hundreds of thousands and millions of light years. And you see the little spot there of where our little Milky Way galaxy would be. To give you an idea, the sun and our galaxy, is this the one that we have? I'm not sure if these are going in the order. That's not the one I'm looking for, but this one is the sun, and it should be number 4. There it is. So here's another aspect, a view of our Milky Way galaxy. Well, our little Milky Way is going to be right over here, and our sun, which you can't really see, which is 90 million times bigger than the Earth, is located right around here. And then there's the You Are Here picture, another angle of our Milky Way. Again, our Earth would be somewhere in there to give you just a little bit of an idea. The sun compared to the Earth. Now, you can't even really see the sun there, but then this is what the sun would look like. This in comparison to the Earth right here. How massive the sun is that God created. And by the way, notice where it's staying in comparison here, but to where that little Earth is and the way God has stationed it in its orbit and its axis, it's tilted in all of that. It gives us these beautiful seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter. And it's where we are being able to function daily and in every way possible, even on a cursed world, because it is a cursed world. But even with that, look what God has done miraculously. And this supposedly just happened. I don't think so. But then also, I thought this was just a kind of a little bit comical and kind of funny to think of. So maybe a little scary to think of is this next one is this tiny comet. All right. This right here is the city of Los Angeles. This is proportionate here to the city. It's about 3 miles wide, this comet is. And this is a tiny one that float around in our solar system quite often. We have about, they think we're anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 in our solar system, that come around, that fly around the earth often. And, closer to the sun, but also asteroids, okay, that would also be, going around us quite often. But, you know, if, from what I understand, if we were to take one like this, and there are, this is about, again, 3 miles wide, but I read one article, if there would be one that would hit us that was about 10 kilometers wide, which I'm not sure how many miles that is right off, but it coming at the force from space and would hit the earth, it would just decimate our planet. Okay. But one of the things that I was reminded of and just seeing something like this is, why hasn't that happened? You know, even if the evolutionists may say, even being here hundreds of thousands of years or even millions of years, but yet the earth is intact. And why has that not happened? And I want to tell you what I believe the Bible says is that by the hand of Jesus Christ, our Creator, the very worlds are held together. They are protected. They are, and again, this is one way I would define it as far as evidence. I'd say you see God's divine fingerprints all over creation. It just stands out at you, and you have to try not to see it, in order to reject it, because it's right there. It's right there in front of us. And I want to draw your attention to that passage there in Colossians. Notice with me in Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. There in your New Testament, you find the book of Ephesians, then Philippians, then Colossians chapter 1. Notice verse 16. By the way, verse 15, you know, has been confusing to some, but it says, who is the image, talking about Jesus Christ, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Well, what that firstborn is speaking of is, it speaks of Jesus, who is the originator of every creature. You see that in John 1:1. You see that in Genesis 1:1. He is the originator of every creature. And we see that defined again in verse 16. For by Him, that's Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. That speaks of Jesus' timeless existence. He is the I Am. He is the self-existing one. And so, again, by Him, notice that last phrase of verse 17, and by Him all things consist. Not only is He the originator of all creation, but we need to understand, and what I would say to an unbeliever, the reason we are here today and the reason we have a beautiful earth and a beautiful creation is because He is the preserver of all creation. Jesus is the preserver of all creation. And He created it for us to enjoy. And He created it to show forth His glory. So those are just a few things that come to mind as I think upon how wonderful our Creator truly is. Now, with that being said, is this going to be the convincer on the unbeliever's heart and mind? I'm not claiming that, but I tell you one thing. I do believe that we should all go to creation. And if you're here tonight and you're like, you know, some of these things I wasn't aware of, or some of these things I did know, but maybe it'd be good to even research some other aspects of creation that you can bring up in that conversation of this just doesn't happen. And but before we close our Bible study tonight, is there any comments or questions that you may have, or something that you, again, would bring up along those lines? Again, this is inexhaustive. I mean, just talking about the different aspects of creation. But any comments tonight?